Psalms 85. Stand with us. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God this evening. I found the book of Psalms 85. And a bunch of fussing and fighting going on. I'm glad we can worship the Lord, Spirit and truth. Psalms 85, Psalmist David said in verse 6, "Will thou not revive us again?" Lets me know he's done it before. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Thank you for standing this evening. This morning we dealt with the reeds of revival. We've seen where we've read where people have experienced revival in their heart. The needs of revival we covered when we need revival. I want to reiterate on a few things there this evening. We need revival when there's want of brotherly love. Jesus said, "How can you love me in whom you've not seen, and not love your brother in whom you have seen?" I want to say, in different personalities brings different opportunities. There's probably some people here that our profiles are different. As Brother Lee said, he and I only see black and white. Some see a lot of gray. You can be wrong if you want to. Amen. You have your right to be wrong. But you know, we're different. God's made us different. I really believe in our church it would help us to go through a lot of time profiles of how people see. Because all we're accustomed to is what we see tonight. Peter had a different profile than John. And tonight I'm convinced probably the reason that some of you have lack of brotherly love for your brother or your sister, they're just like you and you're jealous. And you don't like what you see, they're a mirror to you. And so it ruffles your feathers. And I want to say something tonight in a congregation of this size, there's a lot of different personalities. But that don't give you the right to be hateful to nobody. Amen. That don't give you the right. Just because somebody else can sing, somebody else can preach, somebody else can play, that gives us no right to be ugly to nobody. And so I can tell you tonight, some of you young folks, and some of you old folks, and some of us middle-aged folk, God made us all and He made us who we are. And He's conforming us to be the image of His Son. And there's some things tonight that I probably do that you don't like. But they don't give you no reason to talk about me. They don't give you no reason to have me at the supper table or the dinner table. Just keep your mouth shut. If you ain't got something good to say, then don't say nothing at all. And it goes to my house at my chair as well. But honey, let me tell you, we need revival tonight when we're lacking love for our brother and sister. You know, matter of fact, I've noticed most of the time, those that I disliked, they was just like me. There's a fella give me a lot of problem one time. I met a man in a restaurant. He said, "What's your problem, preacher?" I said, "I'm having problems." He said, "What kind of problems you have?" And I told him, he said, "I'll tell you what your problem is, but you don't want to hear it." I said, "Well, you're probably right. My wife says that a lot." I said, "That individual's just like you." And tonight, we better be careful about who we mistreat. Matter of fact, I wrote something down about character the other night. A man is known most about his character, about how he treats those that he don't need. These people sitting around here tonight, not in the limelight, they're just as important as you and me. There are no big members here, no little members. We all stand even at the foot of the cross. There's no one family runs this church tonight. And it is a priority of mine to be sure there's not none that take over. But let me tell you something, honey. When we don't love one another the way Christ loves us, we're not following the rudiments of this book. We may need revival when we're lacking a love in our heart for our brother and for our sister. And then when Christians have sunk down into a low, backslidden state, we need revival. Some you can't get to church but one time a week. You need revival. Some of you don't sing in the choir you used to, and you've made an excuse. That's a cop-out. I mean, we've got piano players, and we've got choristers that take their time to come and be a blessing. We ought to support that tonight. Amen. When there are dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings among Christians, these things show that Christians have got far from God. A lot of preachers, they're probably the most jealous people in the world tonight. I've tried to help a lot of young preachers, but they found out when they wasn't the pastor here, they just simply moved on, Brother David. I want to say tonight, if you're a young preacher, sit down and wait your turn. If you can't be pastored, you'll never pastor. Singing tonight, some of the most jealous people in the world. You got to be careful. The devil loves to mess with music. You know why? Because he's over music in heaven. He knows all about it. I don't like people come up and tell Brother David they want to sing. Amen. Puts him on the spot. Puts him on the spot because he don't want to hurt your feelings, but he ought to. Amen. We want to sing who God wants singing. And we need the message preached that needs to be preached. And honey, when you eat up with that old green-eyed monster of jealousy, you need revival tonight. Jealousy's no respecter of person. He'll make you jealous over things. Somebody pull up in a new car and you say, my, my, my. Some of you ladies come in with a nice new pocketbook and that old green-eyed monster of jealousy will perk up and look. See, something else I can think of I can preach on while I'm down. We need revival when jealousy and envies come amongst us in our hearts. And you know, I've always thought this as a child of God. If somebody got a promotion above me, hallelujah. Thank Jesus for it. You ought to thank the Lord that He's still in the blessing business tonight. So just don't be looking down around your house and say, well, I ain't got nothing. You got more than what you deserve tonight. We ought to thank God we ain't got what we do deserve tonight. Don't you give me that old poor mouth stuff. Well, I ain't got nothing. Well, it could be several reasons. But one thing, you got more than what you know you got tonight. And you ought to thank the Lord for it. When there's a worldly spirit in the church and Christians have conformed to the world, and their dress, and their topics, and their entertainments, it's time for revival. The average Baptist church tonight looks no different than the world. In dress or programs. Bunch of folks up, beating drums and banging and going, carrying on. You don't know if it's Lynyrd Skynyrd or what's going on in the church house. When church finds its members falling into gross and scandalous sins, it's time for revival. When there's a spirit of controversy, there's always time for revival. When the world's comfortable in our place of worship, it's time for revival. I want to say this tonight. You may not shout, you may not run cry, but don't mess with those that do. Don't mess with my shout tonight. Just because you don't want to say, let the redeemed of the Lord. Just because you'll go down the ball game, shout, won't come to the house of God and say nothing. That ain't my problem. You just got saved. You ought to go to getting in tune. I'm sorry. I'm just not the type of preacher that tips around on issues. And I don't understand folks got one church in the foot and one church in the world. When the world's comfortable in our place of worship and sinners are not bothered for being here, we need revival. Some of you tonight, you're lost. We're dealing with eternal thing. If the Holy Ghost is not here to convict you, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't save you. And it ought to be our heart of this church if the Holy Ghost would so wrap this place up that sinners would not be comfortable in this church. I want to say when there's lesbians keeping a nursery in the church, the power of God's not there. I want to say when a preacher's running around three or four women in the church, the power of God ain't there. Honey, sin's still sin. God's still holy. But wouldn't that be a blessing tonight if God would send us revivals in our heart? The need of revival. Brother Mike said it tonight in the prayer room. We're only one day from being a prodigal. We're only one slip up, one mess up. We're only just one step away from a trap. That we could be in a bad place tonight. May God give us the spirit of revival in our heart. I said that revival was not a miracle. A miracle is always defined to be a divine interference, a setting aside or a suspending of the laws of nature. A revival is not a miracle in this sense. All the laws of matter and mind, they remain intact and in force. They're neither suspended nor set aside in revival. My goodness, it's not a miracle to have revival. It's a mandate in our Bible. The Bible says, be ye filled. That's not an option. It's a command. Be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Nothing like being filled with the Spirit of God. In my drinking days, I used to enjoy that place, the plateau. Then you'd always come down and felt awful. Now, I've never got drunk on the Holy Ghost that when I come down, I felt awful. I've sort of been embarrassed of what I've done a few times. As a matter of fact, I'd love to see some of you get drunk on the Holy Ghost and embarrass your flesh. I love to see these big old rough boys never cried. I love to see the Holy Ghost just tear them up and they go to squalling. Hugging on one another. Revival's not a miracle. I said this morning that before you'll ever have revival, there have to be a conviction of sin. You're not going to have revival in your life with sin in your life. You can't have that joy. You can't have that shout with sin in your life. But we dealt with the reeds of revival and the needs of revival. Then I said we would give heed to what God has given us. We could have revival. Tonight I want to deal with a person. And I will preach on this topic a few minutes on the proceeds of revival. What does revival bring? What's it do? We think a lot about, that church is in revival. Very few places have ever seen revival. Let me tell you, revival's not in a building. It's in individuals. I thank the Lord for a couple of them that I seen last week. They started having revival in their life and in their heart. In the choir, they begin to not wonder who's here or it bothered them who's here. They'll go to raising their hands and testifying by the good grace of God. I want to say tonight that we should always be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. If He wants us to stand, we ought to stand. When it's time for preaching, it's not time for you to be in the way. Be sensitive to what God's wanting you to be in your life. But thank the Lord for individuals that's experienced revival. Matter of fact, if you was to have revival in your heart, we'd have revival in our church. I said I really tried to spend some time this week in study time of revival. Very few books is there on revival. Because I don't believe very many people's ever experienced revival. I remember one time, Brother David, Brother Tim, I was hunting some sermons around and I said, God, why didn't you never give me a sermon on faith to preach? And the Holy Ghost spoke this to my heart as clear as the noonday sun, because you don't know nothing about it. But I've learned a little something about it in the last 3 years. And I want to say something tonight. I've learned a little bit about revival. I want to say in Psalms 51, you're going to find a Bible character that experienced revival. The psalmist David, he needed revival. You know why? Because he had sin in his life. And I think it would do us good tonight to take and mark this scripture. This is a very important message. Do we have time to preach it tonight? Are we okay on time tonight? I want to ask you this. Do you want to hear the Word of God tonight? I don't want to waste this outline. I mean, I'm serious. Do you want to hear preaching tonight? Psalmist David finds himself in a bad place. Man after God's own heart found himself in need of revival. As I studied out this Psalms, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly," not thoroughly. "Wash me throughly from mine iniquity." He said, God, wash me from the inside out. Because if you'll wash my inside, my outside will get better. Wash me throughly. God, if you'd just wash my heart out, I could let my light turn on. Why did he say, wash me? Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sins ever before me. What in the world went on? I want to show you tonight. Let's turn to the book of, hold your spot, we'll be back. 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. 2 Samuel 11. Let's watch what was bothering the psalmist David. 2 Samuel 11. This verse has always broke my heart and bothered me. It said, 2 Samuel, if you got a Schofield, it's page 365. Came to pass after the years expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. I want to ask you something tonight. Why in the world didn't he get himself in the battle? Nothing's changed tonight about it. This is a battle, folks. We battle the flesh and the devil and the world. It's a battle to, keep the world knocked out of a ministry like this. It's a battle to keep me knocked out of a ministry like this. It's a battle. We're in a battle, aren't we? And boy, this flesh, listen, young convert, this flesh didn't get saved. And let me tell you, your mind didn't get saved. I wish my mind didn't have these flashbacks and these rewinds and these playbacks. That's why it's so important not let your mind drift in places and your eyes go where God don't want them to go. I wish to God in heaven my mind was saved. I battle my mind. The devil tells me this and don't like it. I won't go and tell you now, just because I preach to you don't mean I don't love you. It's opposite. It does. It means exactly that I love you. If I didn't care how you was living or acting, I wouldn't go through what I go through. So he found himself, the battle raging, but he didn't participate in the battle. Idle hands is the devil's workshop. The Bible said in verse 1, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Came to pass in the eventide, David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now men, it ain't no sense of me tarrying there. You know what the Bible just said. Watch this, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and watch how the Holy Ghost responded to David. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? I want to park right there and say something tonight. This was somebody's baby, and this was somebody's bride. Hey, boys, some of them eyes you're looking at, that's somebody's daughter you're looking at. and somebody's wife. And there's sacred principles still in this hour, according to the Word of God. Lines that you don't go over. Thank God if you do go over them, you got a God in heaven. If you get right, He'll forgive you. But till you ask forgiveness, you're going to live with it. David inquired, and it's just, ain't that just like the Lord, how good He is? And one said, it's not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah? You know, the Bible said in every temptation that He gives us a way to escape. There was all kind of signals going on here that David should have said. But my old saying, you can't help Goofy. It's just like the Holy Ghost said, hey, think about what you're doing. And honey, when the Holy Ghost warns you like that, you better put it in park and go to thinking about what you're doing. Now, tonight we see David's sin is manifested. David begins to lust, and when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it always brings forth death. Let me tell you what, you go to playing with sin, it may not kill you tonight. But honey, it's coming today, it's going to leave you different than how it found you. I like those saying, you play with sin, it won't take long sin to play you. I started smoking cigarettes in a hayloft with my buddies because I thought it was cool. And before long, it became an addiction. Then I got around the wrong crowd, that doping crowd, because I got to playing with sin, but before long, sin got to playing me just like a violin, any way it wanted to take me. Tonight, we see the sin as transpired. He ought to have been in the battle. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we'd just get busy for God in the battle? And so many times we wouldn't face these temptations. Thank the Lord. Brother Randy said something. He just had a good message this morning. Brother Randy said something. You know, God taught. Thank God Brother Randy's in the battle, that he's not tempted with these promotions and leave out on a wife and young'uns chasing a whirlwind tonight. If you'll serve God, the blessings will come to you. You ain't got to chase them, honey. They'll track you down by the grace of God. Just like him. Well, the Bible said, David sent messengers, took her, and she came in to him and he lay with her. David committed adultery. So now something goes on, something that he wasn't thinking about. The Bible said, verse 5, the woman conceived, sent, told David, said, I'm a child. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. Well, David says, what am I going to do? He said, her husband's out yonder in the battle. And I done went into this woman. She's with child. How am I going to cover it up? Ain't it amazing how when you do one sin, then you get to wanting to cover up your sin? Wouldn't it be just a lot easier to come clean with Jesus tonight and confess your sins instead of trying to cover up your sin? So this is what he does. He gets this real good idea to him. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do to Uriah. He called the captain of the host. He said, put Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, in the forefront of the battle and be sure he gets killed. They sent him word back. So David said, David, your orders is handled, buddy. Uriah's dead. Boy, David says, man, that's great. I got it covered. But along comes an old prophet, because God was writing it all down. And he said, hey, David, he said, I'm going to preach you a little sermon here. He said, there was a rich man in town. There's a poor man. Said the rich man had a lot of sheep and a lot of cattle. And this one poor man, he had one little ewe lamb. And the poor man raised this little ewe lamb up with his children, even slept in his bosom. He fed him with his table. And said, a sojourner come in town and come to the king, the rich man, and said, give me meat lest I die. And the king turned from all of his abode and went to the poor man's house and got the only little lamb he got and killed it. And David said, kill him. And the prophet said, thou art the man. I could just imagine David's head dropped that day. I want to say tonight, be sure your sin will find you out. I'm not wanting to dig up no old bones tonight and bring no skeletons out and rattle them to you, because if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, you got no skeletons. It's on the blood tonight. But I'm preaching basic Bible principles. And if you don't take heed, you'll get in trouble by not listening to the Word of God. Well, the Lord sent Nathan. And so in verse 7 of chapter 12, Nathan said, David, you're the man. Look what he said. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. And I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that hath been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, that thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword? Now therefore, in verse 10, the sword shall never depart from your house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. I want to say something tonight. I've got it pinned down. I don't want you to ever forget this. You always remember, forgiveness takes care of guilt. But forgiveness don't take care of consequences. You're going to make your bed and you're going to lay in it. We reap what we sow. I'm going to read it in Galatians 6 and verse number 7. You don't have to go there. I'm going to be back in a minute. I'm not preaching much long. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. America thinks they're mocking him. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, Lord, I'm going to shout, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sin exposed. David is saddened. David said to Nathan in verse 13, I've sinned against the Lord. The buddy thing's fixing to pick up right there. Matter of fact, that's where things changed. When he said, I'm not sorry that I got caught, but I'm sorry about what I've done. He said, I've sinned against the Lord. I want to say something tonight as your preacher. And I wish I couldn't say this. But there's nothing any harder for me when I sin against the Lord. There's nothing no more miserable to know that it's something between me and my God tonight. Nothing. Nothing. Ain't you glad it's a Jesus that'll forgive you? So now, I thought that you'll notice I'm going to give you another verse to underline. I want you to always remember this in the Word of God. It's found in verse 23 of 2 Samuel 12 about little children. Now, David fasted and prayed because God struck his young'un with a sickness. Bathsheba had that baby. God said, the sword ain't departing from your house. Struck the child. And David fasted and prayed. People was watching him.
And so the child died. David began to eat. The Bible said he went and he worshiped. And they said, David, looks like you got all this backwards. How come you're worshiping God? Your young'un's dead now. Look what he said. Verse 23, but now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now let me tell you something. Any preacher that's so ignorant to tell you in predestinations went so far in their message that only elect babies die and go to heaven. I got Bible and the Word of God to tell me tonight every child that dies, glory be to God, they are in heavenly place. David said, they can't come to me, but I can go to where they are. Some of you, you've lost your babies. They can't come back to where you are, but thank God you can go to where they are someday. Thank the Lord. So I want to lay that groundwork now in closing tonight where David is in this psalm. David, you know something? This is what's always really bothered me tonight. I've got two children here and a grandbaby and another grandbaby. That's what's always bothered me, Brother Mike. That I would do something. That I would do something so gross that God would have to get my attention. That I could walk in, Brother Dennis, and I'd look in that coffin and I'd think, they laying there because of what I'd done. And I don't know, Brother Kevin, if I can get by that or not. There's a lot of things I can do by the grace of God, but I don't know I could ever live with myself to know I put my young'un in the grave. So you better watch what you're doing. God knows how to get your attention tonight. Think where David is. Can you imagine how heavy his heart was? Trying to disguise off this wrongdoing he's doing, all this sin that I don't believe not many people know about it. But the one that mattered the most knowed about it. And me and you ain't going to hide nothing from him tonight. So we find now in Psalms 51, we close and there's verses 1 through 4, their sin confessed. David said, have mercy on me. He said, I'm not really worried about them folks on the pew by me right now. He said, I want you to have mercy on me, Lord. And he said, I need your loving kindness according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. This word transgression simply means a law violated. Then he uses the word iniquity. He uses that word iniquity in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Iniquity simply means morals perverted. Sin. Look what he said, cleanse me from my sin. Sin simply a mark missed. True confession makes no apology. It makes no excuses. No attempts to delude self, deceive man, or displease God. Simply sin, confess. Number 2, verse 5 and 6, self-discovered. Behold, I have shapen an iniquity and sin to my mother conceive me. Let me tell you tonight, friend. He didn't come become a sinner because he sinned. No, he sinned because he was a sinner. He said, my mama conceived me, this old Adamic nature. Adam's nature, we all got it. And that's why we need to be in a Holy Ghost church that's preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. I don't trust this stuff far as I can throw it. David, in this, one of the greatest psalms that he ever penned down, his sin confessed, but he self-discovered. You see, he didn't blame it on the times in which he lived. A lot of people blame, well, you know, everybody else is doing it. That don't make it right. He didn't blame it on time. He didn't blame it on temptations, everything that's going around him. Change crowds. You run with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. You're no match for the devil. If I got a problem with drinking, I won't be running with a drinking crowd. If I got a problem with pornography, I'd kick computer out of my house tonight. Self-discovered. He didn't blame times, didn't blame temptations. He didn't blame his tendencies. We want to blame tendencies. Well, we inherited a bunch of stuff. Yeah, but that don't mean you got to act crazy. And then he didn't blame it on training. Well, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised this way. Well, okay, I don't care how you was raised. Now it's time to be raised right. Self-discovered. David put the blame where it belonged. You know, I found out in my marriage one of the biggest problems was me. I love what Sister Vanessa said, Lanessa said the other night. I'll use it preaching quite frequently. I hope she don't mind because it preaches a powerful sermon. She found out it wasn't the bed bothering her. It was her bothering her. Some of you blaming everything else on everything. It ain't nothing but you. And that's sin you're hiding in your heart. Self-discovered. Then he said, verse 7 through 10, sacrifices required. He said, Lord, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, Lord. Sins need washed white, not whitewashed. Wash me whiter than snow. They ain't nothing to feel that pure. Brother Dave talked about when he got saved, got baptized. It ain't nothing like feeling that purity. You know, folks in the Philippines preaching, you wouldn't believe the Spirit of God in the Philippines. That's not a jealousy and an animosity. And it's not a lot of things going. They're just so appreciative to be there under the roof. Oh, Lord, we need to think about this sacrifice that it took to get us clean. The Lord Jesus hung on a cross, died for your sins and my sins, that He could wash them white as snow. But we must move by faith and believe what He can do for. Tonight, David in this Psalms, his sin confessed, his self-discovered, sacrifice required. But verse 11 and 12, spirit was restored. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Boy, wouldn't that be something if you couldn't feel God no more. Now I want to say something in teaching right here in some closing remarks tonight. This is the Old Testament economy that David was living in. God would withdraw His Spirit. He withdrew it from Saul, and as far as the Bible teaches, Saul never regained the Spirit of God. But honey, when Christ died, that veil of the temple was rent. He got up the third day and He told them boys, He said, I'm going to send another. Now the Spirit of God indwells believers. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. You can never lose the Spirit of God tonight. Oh, you can lose that fellowship and that closeness. But you'll never lose the Spirit of God. Because now we're in the New Testament. And thank God for that New Testament dispensation, saved by grace tonight. What sin destroys, grace restores. Can I say it again in closing? What sin destroys, grace restores. Spirit restored. He said, Lord, He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Folks, let me tell you, it's a joy to be saved tonight. A joy. Now I want you to notice verse 13. Now He says there will be service possible. And you ought to underline this. Look what He says in verse 13. I didn't catch it till last night. Then. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And it won't happen till then. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see everybody that's got saved win about 15 to Jesus. I'd love to see folks that's just warming the pews get so excited, have revival in their hearts. You walk in a place of work or your house and somebody say, I don't know what happened to you, but I like it. Then will I teach transgressors thou? You know something? I want to say something right there tonight. I wish I had more time. I just feel like I'm losing you tonight. But you got to be there before you can teach somebody or lead somebody. Ain't you glad failure ain't fine? You know the best way for you to witness to somebody and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Simply tell them what happened to you. Teach them. Lead them. You got to be there before you can teach them or lead them. Then you can teach transgressors the way. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing tonight if God had sent revival in your heart? Get you on fire for Him. Miss Sherry, if you come for me tonight. Service possible. And then verse 14, their song recovered. This is what he said. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. A great sinner pardon makes a great singer. A great preacher pardon makes a great preacher. A great Christian pardon makes a great Christian. For what God's done for you tonight. You know, I find it's not so much the and we want to categorize things, the big sins, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Those inner sins that nobody know anything about. That's what keeps you from having revival. David wasn't worried about what anybody thought or what anybody said. I wish tonight, my sister Plays, you'd clean your spot out around these old steps. Say, God, I need revival. God, you showed me in my life what I need. And Lord, I know that my song ain't going to be returned. I know my joy, Lord, it's not going to be where it ought to be unless I deal with what you showed me to deal with tonight. I pray God to give you grace, children. Boy, He wants to have fellowship with you. You know, what's God up to trying to get you to where I'm preaching tonight? Hasn't it dawned on you the things that happen is trying to drive you to the church house where you ought to be anyhow? Like Brother Lee said tonight, you're going to wait for a storm come to not have that foundation to stand on when it comes to your house? What you need tonight? Before you ever have revival, you're going to have to deal with who you are, what you are, and what's inside of you. Tonight, open this altar. You need anything from the Lord, you come. This